Hey, this is Gene Vogel from the Disciples of the Watch podcast, and you are listening to Kevin, Robert, and the infamous Ronnie James, D-O-G, on the Obscuria podcast.
In Obscuria.
Welcome back, my friends, to the In Obscuria podcast, a podcast where we exhume obscure rock and punk and metal. And we put them in one of three categories: the lost, the forgotten, or the should have beens. I am Kevin. That is Robert. And the dog, Gene introduced the dog and he left the room.
Went upstairs. He's going to make an entrance in a minute.
I guess so.
Give him a second.
It's the first time he's been introduced.
I'm just sitting there and you were all quiet. What are you doing?
Ronnie James Dio.
And at the beginning.
Barked, yeah.
And then he's not even here.
My family. I can't make excuses. It's my family.
So I have to make an apology to Gene, because back in Gothtober, we said, hey, guess who that was saying Captain Content in the theme song?
Oh, no.
For the culinary concoctions.
Yes.
Only Mighty K took a guess, and she said it was LC, and then I completely forgot to mention it in the episode. So
I thought it was Sean.
It was Gene Vogel.
It was Gene. That was good.
Yeah, he did a great job. He sent me four or five different versions.
Gene Vogel.
And so, exactly. And so I just put them all together. That's how we got.
Oh, it was a compilation.
Captain.
You and your production value.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, somebody should really pay me for this.
At some point.
Yeah.
When you're dead.
Probably not going to happen.
When we're all dead.
Sure. Why not? My God, it's been so long.
What's up?
What's going on with you?
I don't think I've updated everyone on my diet.
What the hell did you just say?
I remember we talked about it. I was on a diet, trying to put on some weight.
Oh, that's right. The put on weight diet.
It's a diet.
How's that working out for you?
Not the same diet that everybody else is on. I have gained 4 pounds.
Just hold your wad there, fella.
How about that?
4.5, actually, to be
fat
precise.
Ass.
I know. I've been lethargic. I've been so fat lately, rolling around. Like,
you can't tell.
I look like the record store guy from The Simpsons now.
Don't you latte-sipping leeches understand? I've seen enough of these Hollywood super hunks. We need a dumpy, unappealing loser, an everyman.
No, my pants fit better. That's all that matters.
Okay, well, good. You'd have to buy new pants.
No new pants. No, I got plenty of room. I got it like 10 more pounds before I worry about buying new clothes. Yes.
You didn't have to punch new holes in the belt?
No, it's back to the normal one now that I've had for a long time. But when I lost a few pounds for no reason. It was just summertime and I was busy and not eating as much as I normally do. So they just kind of fell off.
That's why I just brought you a big ass sandwich.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you. You're trying to fatten me up. I like that.
Yeah. We will not be eating on the program tonight because we just ate big ass sandwiches before we started podcasting.
Maybe halfway. I may run up and get the other.
Okay.
I left a little bit left because I like having stuff to look forward to. So after the podcast, I've got a little piece of sandwich left to go.
Just in case someone misses the, what is it called again? The sound?
Oh, the ass smear.
I never can remember this.
Why? Ass smear. You know what? You know, after you go to the bathroom, what do you got? You got ass smear.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Depending on what you had to eat.
Oh, Robert.
Yes, true. Anything else to tell the people?
I was, before you got here, I was listening, well, not what you heard me listening to, but I found a playlist called New Grunge. And they spelled it N-U.
Oh.
Which is bad.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
This was on what, Spotify?
Spotify, yeah. Mm. I'm lazy. So I was going through, I'm like, well, let me give it a listen. Because I've heard there's this, you know, a newer trend we've talked about.
We've talked about it. Yeah, there's quite a few bands out there.
Yeah, it was more prevalent than I thought. And so on this playlist, I gave about one out of every six bands a thumbs up. Mm. There was a lot that were like, this is just new metal. And then others, I'm like, eh, it's not grunge. Or I'm like, I like this. Oh, it's a cover.
It sounds like Nirvana.
It really did.
Oh, it is.
I'm like, oh, that was like an Alice in Chains cover. And I'm like, oh, I know why I like this.
Yeah.
Because I know it. But they had changed it enough where it took like 15 seconds.
Did you jot down some bands we can check out later?
Well, I have to go back. I wasn't jotting down the bands because I was almost ready to turn it off. But like I said, every sixth or seventh band, I'm like, okay, so I need to go back and just scroll through and make some notes. So I might have some content for us at some point. I might actually do some work.
Wow. Captain Content's going to make an appearance.
Yeah.
Captain Content!
Yeah, other than making us culinary concoctions.
So I may pick 10 bands out of this playlist that I like, and 9 of them will be bands that you've heard of and we've played.
Probably right. That is usually how it goes.
That's how it goes, yes. That's how we work around here.
All right, well, after you find yourself worthless, go listen to Pot of Thunder, Cobras and Fire, Growing Up Rock, Slamfest Podcast, Decibel Geek, Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, A to Z Radio, Metal Up Your Podcast, The Hustle, Disciples of the Watch, Podcast Rock City, State of America, Rock Strikes 10, Potter Than Hell, The Kiss Room, Ages of Rock, and The Podcast Will Rock, Big Al's Rockin' Podcast, and Doonta. Forget about Monty.
Hey, 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 this is Monty Colvin from Galactic Cowboys and Monty's Rockcast. And you are listening to the amazing In Obscuria podcast. Rock on.
Monty's Rockcast. Come visit us at inobscuria.com. Like us, share us, Facebook, X, Instagram. I'm still worn out from Gothtober.
It was a lot of work for one of us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I put in some effort this year.
You put a lot of effort in there.
It was half work, half fun.
Every time we recorded, you did an, oh shit, I got to get something ready, and you put it together.
About half an hour before the episode.
That's what I do every week as well.
You slap it together. But that's where I get my inspiration is panic. Anxiety works for a lot of people. And panic.
Yeah. It works for a ton of people. So, I didn't feel like getting out the Ouija board.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the planchette had been going across it so much during Gothtober that it's just kind of worn out.
Yeah, I gotta vacuum the rug.
Yeah.
Kind of get the groove out of it.
I don't think I want to go to the spirit. So are you okay if we just let the diabolical duo decide what we're doing tonight?
Yeah, let them handle it.
Okay, because I just don't feel like putting in any work. No effort.
Cruise control tonight.
All right. Well, let's just see what's up and we'll go with whatever Mighty K comes up with.
Captain! I am Captain
Content.
And this is my faithful companion,
Mighty K.
Say hello.
I was thinking, I know I am only Captain Content's sidekick, but I think you guys should do a girls band, if there's enough, from that era, the 90s, the grunge scene, and, you know, should have been, could have been's of at least girl singers, and have them on the show, you know, not on the show, but play their music. I'd like to hear more stuff from more girl bands, you know, kind of thing. And I think, you know, it would be a good show. So that's my pitch.
Super, super excited. And more importantly, Double Barrel Daryl is. He's like just jonesing to hear these songs.
Bouncing with excitement.
Wow. Double Daryl Bell. Must be a rough on the program again.
It's a rough road. There's a lot of potholes. He's bouncing.
Well, I think we could make that happen, Mighty K. We were already talking about grunge bands, so we can do that. Maybe not all grunge, because there are not that many.
No, if you limit all to grunge, there's going to be one.
But we can go 90s. Why don't we go 90s?
Courtney Hole.
No, I don't even count that one. Yeah. I was trying to forget that one. You brought it back.
You're
don't
welcome.
Do that.
That's only female grunge, like grunge.
No, we've played a bunch already.
Not that many. I mean, like the ones that were big.
I'm talking about.
Now, I know we've played.
L7, I guess you could sort of put in that category, but not really.
Not really. It's more alt. Yeah. So you get into the alt category, there's tons.
Hammerbox. We played them before, though.
Well, good. They're on the banner.
All right. Well, this will be our 8th time covering the subject of famales.
Famales. Mm-hmm. Yes.
On the program.
I'm fond of famales.
I know you are.
You are a sexist pig.
So As I've stated in the past, I know from firsthand knowledge that the industry is tougher on girls in rock and punk and metal because I was in a band that had a female lead singer and guitarist, and she got told all sorts of dumb shit by sound people and recording engineers.
She was blonde. Yeah. So that probably exacerbated.
Stuff she wouldn't have been told if she had not been blonde and a girl.
Yeah.
It happens. What we're going to play, these aren't chick bands. These are kick-ass rock and roll bands. That is what Mighty K is asking for. And that's what we're going to do. Episode 307, A Woman Scorned, Ocho. It just sounds better than eight.
Ocho Famales.
Ocho Famales. Okay, so we're going to go with 1990s. That's what she said to go with. And what was happening in the 90s other than grunge for women performers? And I'm not talking about the Lilith Fair. I'm talking about Riot Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Lilith Fair, I don't want to go there.
No, they don't shave.
That would put me to sleep as well. No, we're talking about Riot Girls.
In the arms of an angel, fly away.
Buy a puppy. No, Riot Girls, it was an underground, for a while, feminist punk movement that began in the Pacific Northwest, along with grunge, and it was kind of a subculture movement that combined feminism and punk music and politics, and it was a genre that kind of sort of came out of grunge, but mainly indie rock and alternative. Yeah. And
college rock.
Yeah, the punk scene was big with the Riot Girls, so it was basically women being women, dressing like women and being women, yet expressing anger and rage and frustration and emotions that considered at the time socially more acceptable for male songwriters and singers. So that's what the Riot Girl movement, that's what the Riot Girl movement was about. And we're going to go down that path with a couple of these artists tonight. Their songs often addressed issues like rape and domestic abuse, sexuality, racism, patriarchy, classism, anarchism, female empowerment,
the
normal stuff. Yeah. You know, angry women. Basically,
I have dated a few.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been around a few.
Or I dated them and they became.
They didn't start off that way. But
no,
in the end, that's what they were.
They were quite happy and content until they met me.
So let's get right into it tonight. First up is a band that Mighty K mentioned, a Detroit based garage punk band that released three albums between 1994 and 1996. They are called Motor Dolls. And the reason they're called Motor Dolls is because they are from Detroit.
The Motor City.
That's right. And lead singer, guitarist, Paula Messner, she formed this band after being in another band called Vertical Pillows.
Del.
Hey. Hey.
Why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
So the band Vertical Pillows, when she left, they would go on to change their name to Detroit Cobras.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we've played them
before. Yes, I like them.
They're a great band. But she went a different route, and she went into this band, Motor Dolls, and they're more of a punk rock-based kind of Riot Girl sort of band. But then that band folded in 96 as Paula quit to focus on her family. And she then, a couple of years later, she with other moms from the punk rock scene in Detroit got together in the early 2000s, and they created a new punk band for their little kids because they were tired of all the crappy kids' music. And so they put together a punk band that basically played kids' music, in punk rock.
Hell yeah.
So they were called the Candy Band, and they released four albums of punk rock kids' music, and I'm sure they made a mint. And these days, she's actually on TikTok as, if you want to go check her out, she's on TikTok, if you do that, as @SassySixStrings. And just this year, she's racked up 13.3 million views with 2.3 million likes and over 14,000 comments on just a single post of her playing on her front porch, playing acoustic.
I hope you can monetize that. I don't know the first thing about how much money
that seems
people
like a
make,
lot.
But 13 million views, I like... $50, $100.
I don't know.
$1,000.
It seems like a lot.
Yeah. If somebody knows, tell me. At 13 million views, do you make any money from that, or do you have to make subsequent videos, like a stream of videos that make that many? I don't know.
I think basically she's pretty. What's the word?
Talented. Pretty.
No, I was thinking famous.
Oh, famous. Okay.
TikTok famous. What do you call a TikTok famous people? I don't know.
TikTok famous. Influencers?
Influencers. Nah, she, I don't know if she's influencing. She's just...
she's just there.
I don't know.
TikTok famous.
This is where I show my age. I don't tick or tuck.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We gram.
I do this instead.
Yeah. I book and gram occasionally.
So she's recently played shows in Detroit as Miss Paula in the Candy Bandits. So that was another kids' music venture that she's doing.
This is a great idea.
It is a great idea. That's not what we're about to get.
Aww.
What we're about to get.
I love you. You love me. We're a happy family.
What we're about to get is the Motor Dolls from their album Burning Memories that came out in 1996. This is a song called Little Brother.
you know if that was her doing the leads?
That was her.
Nice.
Double threat. Do you think maybe she's inspired by that guy who's recently passed? Sounded a lot like one Ace Frehley.
That guy that passed. Yeah, that there's been a few.
But her leads.
I was like, doesn't sound like Ozzy at all.
No, his guitar did not sound like that.
Yeah, but yes, you're absolutely right. That's a great compliment to her.
Yes. A lot of Ace-isms like in that lead.
Yes.
You know Ace, right?
That guy? What band? Muppets?
Motor. Is he a Muppet? No. This was Motor Dolls. No. Kiss! There's your Kiss connection with a K. Dog did not even wake up.
Nope, he's accustomed to these now after all these years.
Bummer. Oh, well. Great band, though.
Yeah.
Like Motor Dolls, they had a good sound. They were kind of somewhere between garage and punk.
She's selling out all kinds of daycares with the new music.
She can sing, man. She's got a throat. So.
And if she's got 13 million views, I imagine she's not hard to look at because that's what really matters on social media.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
She's a beautiful person, let's just say.
That works. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. This is a band that I've actually had the chance to share the stage with several times. And they're just a two-piece band, but they have so much gear on stage that I had to stand on the monitor both times I've opened for them. Yes, I had to stand on top of the monitor because there was no stage.
It's not the Stripes.
Left.
You haven't opened for the Stripes yet.
Nope. This is a band from Athens, Georgia, formed in 1993 called Jucifer.
Why do they need that much crap with two people?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
So their name, Jucifer, came from the O.J. Simpson trial. Somebody called him Jucifer.
We're old enough to remember that as well.
I was in college. I remember when the verdict came out, I was in a marketing class. And that's all we could talk about. We couldn't have the class because people just wanted to talk about the verdict.
I was here in Atlanta, had a job, and we were at some restaurant up in Roswell, like some podunk restaurant at lunchtime, and everything got quiet. And you know, it was one of those mixed reactions from people that it was all over the map how people reacted to it. So, yeah, I remember that too.
Do you remember the live footage of the slow-ass chase?
So then, before that, I was in Daytona, and yeah, I caught that as well.
That's so stupid. He was going like 35.
AJ Cowling and a white Ford Bronco with all four channels back then and CNN. Right. We didn't really have 30 channels of news back then. So every show was interrupted to watch this chase at 30 miles an hour.
The high speed 35 miles an hour chase.
It was just the most boring police station. And eventually they just stopped.
They're just behind him.
There
with
was
the
no
lights on.
Climatic ending. Eventually he just stopped. I was like, all right, it'll stop now.
It was June 1994. President Bill Clinton was serving his second year in office. The story of Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding had overshadowed the recent Olympics. Kurt Cobain, Richard Nixon, and Jackie O had recently died. But on June 17th, as sports fans settled in for Game 5 of the NBA Finals, something unexpected was about to unfold. Live on television.
Tonight on Larry King Live.
He apparently disappeared from under the noses of his lawyers and doctors this afternoon, dodged an arranged surrender, and vanished into the Los Angeles haze. O.J. Simpson, one of our most public figures even before this week's incredible events, is now one of our most wanted ever. The football star, movie star, TV sports analyst, commercial pitchman is described as armed and dangerous, possibly suicidal, and if found, he could face the death penalty for the murders of Nicole Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Our guest is John Mack, president of the L.A. Urban League. Let's go to some phone calls. Pensacola, Florida. Hello.
Perhaps he doesn't think that maybe the money that athletes are being paid today is...
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt this call. I understand we're going to go to a live picture in Los Angeles. Is that correct? Okay. This is Interstate 5, and this is courtesy of KCALR, one of our L.A. affiliates. Police believe that O.J. Simpson is in that car. Okay. Police believe he is in that vehicle. Let's pick up what the KCAL broadcaster is saying.
It seems at this point that the officers would do just about whatever they do in any type of a pursuit.
Now they're telling me that they believe... They believe that this vehicle is registered to Al Cowlings, one of OJ's oldest friends, a teammate at Southern Cal.
Trying to just stay on top of all of the vehicles down there, just in case the vehicle did get away, the law enforcement vehicle would be able to maintain visual at all times.
The police are making no attempt to pull this car over. John, do you hear me?
Yes,
John Mack, our guest, the president of the L.A. Urban League.
Yes, I
do. What do you make of this?
I'll tell you, this is high drama, Larry. I didn't expect to be a part of this, but...
Neither did I.
You know, it's... I really... It'll be interesting to see who's really in that car.
Good old Jucifer.
OJ's on eating a sandwich. When he's done with the sandwich, we'll pull over. But he didn't want to pull over until he's finished the sandwich.
He's trying to get those gloves off.
Yeah, damn it, these gloves. The gloves fit. You must have quit. You remember that? Johnny Cochran.
All right, so The Swear, the band that I have been part of for quite a while, we had the honor of opening for Jucifer in Birmingham a few times. And like I said, I barely had room on stage. So Amber Valentine is the lead guitarist and vocalist. Her husband, Edgar Livingood, plays drums. Yet on stage, they have a gigantic wall of amplifiers. And when I say gigantic, I'm talking probably they stack, I would say, anywhere between 45 and 50 amps on top of each other from the floor to the ceiling, covering the entire stage.
And two of them are hooked up.
I don't know. They had a bunch of lights, too. So they not only have the amps, but they have the lights. But this is their thing.
Other bands have done that. Many bands have done that. Where they load the stage with Marshall stacks.
Yes.
And you see one of them has a light on.
Yes. Remember Yngwie.
Yngwie, same thing.
Yeah, we saw one that had a light
look
on.
Look at that. It's got a light on it right there. That, and we counted how many amps, and the one amp had a light on.
Excuse me. I don't fucking deserve this shit. I paid for a first-class ticket. I don't need a fucking cunt come up to me and do that shit. See you in Tokyo, bitch. Ask your fuck. That. New job, love. You release the fucking fury. Forget about it. I was sitting here.
Yep. But they were loud, so I think they were definitely using more. What they would do is, because they were only a two-piece, Amber would run her guitar through both bass amps and guitar amps, and so you were getting this full wall of sound just from her.
Sounds cool.
They're a great band. They're also nomads, so they have an RV. They're married. Mm-hmm. They have an RV. They're from Athens, but they don't really have a house. They live in their RV, and they basically tour
just constantly.
Perpetually.
Yeah.
They just tour, and I never actually met them. Because they don't come, they set up before we ever got there. Every show we played with them, they had already set up earlier in the day, and they were in their RV. We never saw them until
it's kind of genius. Because
until it was time to come on stage,
you got a backstage wherever you go. Why didn't we think of that?
I don't know.
We bought that crappy van. We could have bought a crappy RV.
You had one.
Well, as a camper.
That was later.
Yeah. We could have hooked that up and had it on backstage.
Yeah, we could have.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's what they do, and I think they're still out there doing it. They've had 8 full-length albums. My favorite of their 8 full-lengths is the album that was current when we were playing shows with them around 2010, 2012, somewhere around there. But it's called, it's French, but it's L'Autrichien. I don't know. It's a concept album about the French Revolution.
You got to do it with the accent. Ha-ha, think that. Think ha-ha. Now say it.
Where's Sean Geek when I need him? He went to French school. He should know how to say
it. I taught you twice.
L'Autrichien.
Silly English types.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries. Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Anyway, it's a concept album. So they're a sludge metal band with a concept album about the French Revolution and Marie Antoinette getting beheaded. It's great.
I cut your head off twice.
So since we're focusing on 90s releases, I'm not going to play from that one. I'm going to play from their very first album, just squeaked in, 1999, came out. It's called Calling All Cars on the Vegas Strip. This is Jucifer with Long Live the King.
Come on over and lay yourself down.
the next time that I'm working out in the garage and there's a rusty bolt that just won't budge, mm-hmm. I'm going to put the speaker next to it and play that song. Very acidic and caustic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they don't pull any punches. They just, you know, they're just going to hit you in the head.
And her vocals fit well with that music, but if you isolate the vocals, they're only a half a step away from emo girl. For comparison,
let's just see. Yeah. Let's see how it compares. Yeah, pretty close.
Very close.
Except just for her awesome.
Yes. And they had a wall of sound. If Emo right. Girl had a wall of sound.
Maybe you're right.
That was just, I felt bad because it was like an acoustic guitar. Yeah. And then there was an electric in the back, but not on that particular song. That was the ballad.
Right.
Of the evening.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It was. Very, very ballad.
Heartfelt ballad.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, so Jucifer, that's a good way to describe them, acidic. Yeah. It's basically what they are.
That's not a slam.
No.
I'm just saying.
There's sludge metal.
Yes.
That's what they do.
That will peel the paint off walls.
Yep. I dig it. I like them. They were very loud, though.
God.
In a small club.
As soon as you started playing them, I imagined we played in a club with them.
Did you ever go to the Nick in Birmingham? That's where we played with them several times. It's called that. It's basically.
I don't think so.
It was a companion to Smith's old bar, I think. But it was.
I think
much
I loaned
smaller.
You the band van for that.
Yes, we did take the band.
But I wasn't with the band van that time.
Okay, but that's they would have all of that gear in that club,
club
and just blow it to bits with sound. I mean, just enormous amounts of volume.
Yeah.
Good band, though.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah.
They want to do that much work, setting up crap.
Oh, my God. I don't know how long that takes them to put all that shit up.
Got there at 2 in the afternoon, probably started setting up.
Probably right. That's why they go back to the RV. They're just tired.
Sleep. They're passed out.
Okay, next up is a true Riot Girl band from Fort Lauderdale.
Lauderdale. Some fat Floridians down there.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Fort Lauderdale.
Could not speak tonight. Formed in 1992 by vocalist Jessica, spelled like sick, you say Jessica. Tinny Achacha.
Achacha.
Bassist, keyboardist Agent Mulder, and guitarist Michelle Inhell.
Okay, I like that.
Pretty nice. They were also known as Riot Goth. Mm. This band is called Jack Off Jill.
What the hell you say?
Hello.
So their second show ever, they opened for Marilyn Manson and his shock rock outfit at the time, Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids. This is before Marilyn was Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, he's just Robert something something.
And yeah, at Davie, Florida. I don't know where Davie, Florida is. Must be close to Miami, I assume.
Yeah, it's down that region.
Manson liked them so much, he had them open most of his early shows before he got super big. And he also produced their demos. So they have a connection to Marilyn Manson, which is why they're kind of considered a little bit goth as well. They then went on to open shows for Joan Jett, L7, Fetchin' Bones, 7 Year Bitch, Babes in Toyland, and the Lunatics. 5 of those bands we've played on the show before. And some we might hear again tonight. Who knows?
What was the Bones one? Bitchin' Bones?
Fetchin' Bones.
Fetchin' Bones?
Down here on the banner right here.
Is it?
Fetchin' Bones from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
All right. So we're going to play a little Jack Off Jill. You like that? Jack Off Jill? Now, Jessica's onstage antics included covering the audience with fake blood and throwing candy.
Okay. You know, we know what happened last time. I was watching a band that was throwing candy.
Yes, we do. You got kicked out, didn't you?
Got kicked out.
You got kicked out of a lot of places.
My nephew was asking me about that because he was there when a guy got kicked out of the go-kart track in front of my entire family.
What the hell did you just say?
Yeah, I was like number 10.
Yeah, I was 40 at that time. Right. I knew I was way old enough to know better, but I put him in the wall and they threw me out. Yeah. So yeah, he was like, is that just a thing? I'm like, no, it's not a thing. It just happens. I'm always the victim.
It's kind of a thing.
I'm a victim every time. It's not my fault.
So this band had 2 albums, 97 and 2000. They disbanded in 2000, but they reunited in the 20-teens. And I think Sydney Taylor from Loudwire, she says it best of this band. A venom-laced lipstick smear of Riot Girl angst, industrial bite, and goth glam theatrics.
Sounds about right.
So, yeah, that's what we're going to get. And I'm going to play the song Swollen off of their album, Sexless Demons and Scars.
It just keeps going.
Jack off, Jim.
Never ends.
Thank you. disfigured. I pissed in my pants and I don't feel any big. I let out the freak for all to see, and she won't let you think that you're so much better than me.
I'm just going to draw the line and say, no, thank you.
I got to go to the bathroom. Can you,
you go sit
can there. You open your mouth?
Ew! No. Nope, 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 no. No, 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 no.
What did you think of the lyrics?
Yeah, no, nope,
they
nope.
speak to you?
Nope, no, no,
not
no.
really.
I think it was just a lack of oxygen. That's the swollen lip problem.
Ah, okay.
Problem solved. Move on. All that other stuff was not necessary. You will not be doing the things you discussed.
She's so sweet.
Oh, yeah. So, oh,
until
sweet.
Until you piss her off.
Yeah, or piss on her or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And then she pisses on you.
Yeah. No, we're not going to be having that. I have four or five perfectly good bathrooms. Go do that in those bathrooms, and that's where that stays.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Jack off, Jill.
Jill did, yes. I don't know about Jack.
All right.
She's, yeah, very easy to look at. I wouldn't want to listen to that very often.
You're a sexist pig.
No, God. Not your thing.
Can you just imagine, like, in real life, pissing her off, and she pulls that voice out all of a sudden?
You might get a song written about you.
You're like, I guarantee it. It'd take like 20 minutes for me to irritate the piss out of her. But yeah, just having her scream at you like that, you would do whatever it takes to just not have her do that. I'll put the toilet seat down. I'm sorry. That will never happen again. Just don't scream at me like that.
Yeah, just don't scream at me, please.
Don't.
All right, for our fourth song, a band that we just mentioned because they played with them, but also a band that we've covered previously on a grunge episode. So here you go, Mighty K. This is a grunge, sort of, punk, sort of, band from the 90s. That's what you asked for. A Riot Girl band from New York that was both punk and grunge, like I said. They got their first break from Sonic Youth's Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon in 1988. And in 92, Becky Reck, who was the drummer, she gained popularity for a TV appearance on Howard Stern's Lesbian Dating Game.
Hell yeah, good old days. Shock Jock Radio.
This is your wife, huh? She looks hot. I love it. It's with a belly button exposed. I love that look. You guys are wild swingers. Come on, sit down. Hey, let me tell you something. This show is unbelievable because we make people's fantasies come true. Now, you contacted us. Tell us, what is your fantasy?
To meet Becky Reck.
Now, take a look at this picture. This is a picture of Becky Reck. She's been on Lesbian Dating Game a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Describe your fantasy with Becky. What would you like to have happen?
Just about anything.
You'd like to kiss her?
I'd like her to use her sex toys on me.
You
the
would.
The ones that she said in her room, her harnesses.
Oh,
you remember everything
it.
She said.
So what's so special about Becky, do you think? Is she kind of masculine looking? Is that it?
Oh, she's cute.
She's cute. Are you bored with your present sex life? Your husband looks like
no.
a stud. He looks like he
not
could,
at all.
Not at all? Are you a little jealous of this? Maybe you're afraid you'll lose her to lesbianism?
Better lose her to that than another man, you know?
I am going to ask Becky to come out here right now. You asked us for it. Come on out, Becky.
Becky Reck.
Becky Reck. Here she is. Wow. Wow. How do you like that? There you go. Well, let me tell you something. Take a seat. Now,
well, Becky.
Becky, aren't you amazed all the times that you've been on the show? All the women go wild for you. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of this beautiful woman who saw you on TV and wants you? What do you think of her?
Pretty cool.
She's pretty attractive, isn't she?
And what do you think of Becky now that you see her in the flesh? Same thing I did before I came on the show.
Are you having sexual feelings right now?
Quiver, you mean?
Yeah, are you a little nervous?
Well, yeah, I guess so. A little nervous.
Ooh. I think there are magnets in her tattoos. I really do. They're all attracted. I mean, you know, as sexy and as attractive as I am.
Yeah. She left the band shortly after that, and they got in Beastie Boys' Luscious Jackson drummer, Kate Schellenbach, who's also known for TV because she's the producer for the Ellen Show, or was the producer for the Ellen Show. And she did the Late Late Show with James Corden. That means now she has no job, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He's out.
So don't know what she's doing now, but she's better known for that. But she was in this band as well. This is the Luna Chicks. And they played shows with the Ramones, Buzzcocks, No Doubt, Go-Go's, Rancid, Jack Off Jill. And they played on the Vans Warped Tour. They released six albums from 1990 to 1999. We're going to play from their 1995 album called Jerk of All Trades. Here's a very nice, pleasant song called Bitterness Barbie.
Tears of Crisco grease.
I love that line.
Classic.
That is classic. You wouldn't hear that anymore because nobody would know what that meant.
No, Paul McCartney could have written stuff like that, but he just wasn't trying hard enough.
Exactly.
John Lennon.
Maybe one day. He's still kicking it.
He's coming through in concert.
Is he really?
You want to pay $500 to
I do
go
not.
See him? No,
I don't.
No.
No. Don't care to.
Nope.
I think I missed the Paul McCartney train long time ago.
His voice checked out of the chat about 5 years ago, and he's been kind of winging it.
Talking it.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there. Wings in it.
But no, he has a crappy voice now, in all seriousness.
Yeah. I saw Bon Jovi just sold out a second show at Wembley.
Oh.
And I'm like, really? Really? He can't sing anymore.
No, he can't. How
are you selling out two shows?
Four people to replace Richie Sambora. And I don't know.
I don't get it.
A lot of tracks, a lot of backup vocalists. So I don't know. If you're selling out stadiums, good for you.
Yeah, good for you,
I guess.
But
the people that are paying hundreds of dollars, you're getting lots of...
Getting them the
non-Bon Jovi. Yeah, exactly. Non-Bon Jovi Jovi.
Lunatics. What did you think about them, though?
I like them.
Yeah.
That was more my style. That wasn't quite as aggro as kids like to say.
Mm.
I like
that the kids say.
Yeah.
So not as much of the jack-off chill.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that as many times as I can in the episode.
I could play that in front of, you know, like my nephews and not get embarrassed.
Lunatics?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We have them up here on the banner.
Where?
See, their logo is the one in the dog bone with all the blood around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You show that to your mother.
Mm.
Okay. So let's move on. Earlier, you mentioned fetching bones, or yeah, I mentioned
you
them.
Mentioned you mentioned it, and I said, huh?
Fetching bones? Yes.
I acknowledge your mention.
They were a band from Charlotte, North Carolina, and we played them on our very last Woman Scorned episode. And I remember growing up hearing that band. They were big in the scene, and I remember when they put a video out, and it was a big deal in the
Sounds
area.
Like something you'd hear on Hee Haw.
Fetching bones. They did have they were a little countrified alternative to them, yes. But they broke up in the early 90s, and the lead singer went on to form a band called Sugar Smack, and that's who we're going to play tonight.
Okay.
So there are a little bit more of an alternative rock band for the 90s, also from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hope Nichols is the lady's name who is singing. So they got signed to Sire Records based on Fetchin' Bone. They released a debut in 93, and then they did nothing until 98. And that's a little too long to wait.
Don't rush it.
I think that's too long to wait to put out your second album because that was it.
Yeah, because the 90s were over by 1998. Yeah.
So they, you know, they had a good sound for 93, but then by 98, and I'm going to play from the 98 album,
yeah.
But by 98, a lot of the sounds had changed in what they were doing. So unfortunately, it didn't work to their advantage. They should have put it out in, say, 94, 95.
Get your ass off the couch. Make some music.
So I'm going to play from that album, though. It is really good. It's called Tank Top City is the name of the album, and I'm going to play the song Venus.
I touch all of
That was a lot to put into one song.
I was going
to
say, is that weird enough for you?
Yes. It crossed the line about halfway through the song. They had the little psychedelic breakdown in the middle. Mm-hmm. But even the first half, it was pretty straightforward, like sludgy, stoner rocky. And then there's a little bit of horns in the background.
Yeah, like, and it's, just a they don't bit. Take over. They just kind of background.
They were there and went away. I'm like, did I just hear some horns and stoner rock? Yeah. And then they had the psychedelic breakdown in the middle. And then they had, towards the end, kind of the morphine alto sax. Mm-hmm. Was it baritone sax?
Baritone sax.
Baritone sax, yeah. Like morphine had.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that had everything in it. I loved it.
I think it's really cool.
Tank Top City?
Tank Top City. You should go check it out.
Yeah. I will go to Tank Top City.
It's good, man.
You got to drive through Titty City to get to Tank Top City.
Yes, right. It just asks for Sugar Smack.
Sugar Smack. Tank Top City. That has got to be the best strip joint name. Come on. You know that's going to be a good one.
Tank Top City?
Yeah. Atlanta has Magic City.
Mm.
That's one of the better high-quality strip joints here in
Atlanta. See, I never even heard of that one because I don't know.
No, they changed the name. It's downtown.
I see.
Atlanta.
I see.
Downtown Atlanta.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so Magic City.
Probably not for me.
They've changed the name to, or maybe that was the name change. I can't remember. But no, that's not the one that you and I would probably go to.
Mm.
But it is famous. There's like a documentary on the strip club.
Oh, well,
it is so famous.
See?
Yeah, lots of stories.
I'm just not cool enough.
I'm not, but I know about it.
But I like Sugar Smack. So go check them out. It's kind of hard to find. So hopefully, I don't know if it's on Spotify or not. I kind of doubt it.
That's probably a little bit more eclectic. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go to a band that features two ladies who were considered part of the originators of what became the Riot Girl movement. This is a band from Olympia, Washington, which is where the movement began.
It's way up there.
Way up there. And this band revolves around Corinne Tucker, who's on vocals and guitar, and Carrie Brownstein, who is also on guitar and vocals. They originally were in the groups Heavens to Betsy and Excuse 17. Those are two famous Riot Girl bands, but they got together and they formed this band that some people, critics, seem to love this band, and they call them the best band ever, but they're called Slater Kinney.
Oh, yeah.
And they are really good. They're a really good band.
I didn't know their origin story.
Yeah, they were members of other bands, and they got together and they put together this band, and Slater Kinney is known for continuing on that whole Riot Girl thing, being very girly, but feminist and progressive and
still kick your
political
ass.
And they'll still kick your ass.
Yep.
And they still write really, really good music. They don't have a bass, though, so I have to hate them. Another band who's got a bunch of guitars and no bass.
Yeah, a lot of out-of-work bass players out there these days.
Because basically, Corinne plays, the way that she plays guitar is sort of like a bass. And,
okay.
And so she plays, I don't know if she plays through a bass amp, but she kind of gets a lower tone. And then you couple that with the higher tone.
Tunes it down a couple of steps.
Yeah, you get sort of this kind of bassy thing. But I'm just saying, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of not having a bass player.
I understand.
They released 7 studio albums between 1994 and 2005. And then they reunited in 2014. And since then have released 4 more albums. They're still going. So I'm going to play all the way back to 1996 from their album called The Doctor. This is a song called Stay What You Are.
Stay where you are. Stay if you want it, it's me.
the perfect song if you have a crappy Bluetooth speaker, because you don't miss any of that low end.
No separation.
No, I kept waiting for the bass to kick in. Like, I'm like you. I'm like, and we're halfway through the song.
So. I like them, but I miss the bass.
Maybe somebody, you know, as easy as stuff is nowadays, you just tell AI to do this. Can you put that in and go, hey, AI, put a bass line in this?
Put a bass line.
Nothing crazy, just a simple bass line.
Like some Michael Anthony.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
A bit of Sheehan.
Well, what'd you think? You like Slater Kinney?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard them before. Yeah, they were...
They're kind of indie darlings.
They're a band that a lot of other bands cite as influences.
Yeah.
Because they're cool.
Yeah, everybody thinks they're cool, and they are pretty cool.
It wasn't what I was listening to in the 90s or ever, but I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I like it more now than I did then.
100% more now than I would have back then. I'm much more open-minded about stuff like that.
I did not listen to Slater Kinney in the 90s. In fact, the first, I remember this vividly, the first CD I ever bought with a female singer was No Doubt. I had never bought... Any music with women. It just, for whatever reason, it just didn't appeal to me. I liked the Go-Go's when I was a kid.
Yeah, but
I didn't buy that.
No, my sister gave me a cassette with the Go-Go's, but... Yeah.
I like their songs, but I wouldn't buy it.
The exact same thing. I think the first female band was No Doubt.
But when Tragic Kingdom came out and I heard just a girl, I saw the video.
Well, I saw the video, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the video and I was like...
Hello.
Oh, Robert, you're a sexist pig.
Wow.
But it's still good music.
The damn good song.
Yeah.
And it was so catchy, and I went out and bought it, and I remember thinking, like, ooh, I'm a big deal now. I'm okay to buy a girl. Girl singer.
You're so well.
Wow, look at me. I'm so progressive.
You're so progressive. You're so well-rounded.
But I do remember thinking, like, oh, this is the first band I've ever bought with a girl. Like, I didn't, my first 45 ever was Joan Jett. So, but again, I was a kid then.
Yeah.
And so I never bought more.
Little Affair was too far. But,
that was too far.
But No Doubt was just right.
No
just
Doubt right was good because that was Scott.
It was a little
punk.
More rocking, yeah.
Yeah.
The littlest stuff, not shaving your armpit type thing. That wasn't for me.
The girls with the acoustic guitars, no. Sorry, just couldn't do it.
No.
It's just too snory.
It's very snory.
No, it's just, I need something. I need a beat. You know, I need something that's upbeat.
God, yeah, there were a lot of those. 99X was bad about
a ton
playing
of them
that.
In the 90s.
That was the late 90s. We talked about how it changed from, you know, the 4 or 5 heavy grunge bands. The late 90s, it was all kind of poppy.
Yeah.
And then you had
still
that,
trying to have the image of being angsty.
Cool and angsty, but not really.
But not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this last band that I'm going to play, they are fierce and angsty.
Yes.
And we've played them before, but I'm going to play them again because they are just a killer band.
It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Yeah, and they deserve to be played again. We played them on a grunge ep, but we're going to play them here. This is 7 Year Bitch. They're sort of punk. They're sort of grunge. They're from Seattle, Washington. They were active between 90 and 97, definitely part of the Riot Girl movement. And they kind of began as a response to violence in their area, and that's kind of how they put their whole group together based on that. Their first concert ever, they opened for the Gits. Now, if you recall, back in Gothtober, we did Rocktastrophes.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Gits. They had Mia Zapata, who was raped and murdered.
Oh, yeah, that story. That was a bad story.
So they played with that band. They befriended them, and when it came time for them to do their first album, they dedicated their album to Mia Zapata, and they called their album Viva Zapata. That came out in 1994. Might have been their second album, but anyway, they dedicated an album. They have a song called Mia. We played that on the grunge episode, actually.
Right.
But I'm going to play a different song this time. This song is Hip Like Junk from 7 Year Bitch from 1994.
Can I bounce, rock off your
Genteel,
you think?
Rock, yeah.
Still, bang like, your head against the wall,
but in a pleasant way.
Junk.
Is when you know a Southerner, a true Southerner, tells you to go to hell, but it makes you look forward to the trip.
I like that.
That's what I was thinking when she's threatening to bang my head against the wall. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Basically, telling whoever this is that shooting up is, that they're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
There was a lot of that going on in Seattle, Washington, in the 90s. So.
Not
it's coming from a real place.
Thankfully, not amongst our friends.
No,
I wouldn't have known where to get it. Weed, no. Beer, absolutely, but heroin. I knew little 5 points. If you go there and start asking around, sooner or later you're going to get your ass kicked and then find drugs.
Right,
which is to this day the same thing. It has not changed that much. You're probably going to get your ass kicked,
right.
And you could probably find some drugs.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's luckily we didn't have to deal with
not
that.
Not part of my scene. Not what I was into.
No. We had lots
Thank
of,
God.
Lots of
that's
beer.
That's why we're still here, probably.
Lots of beer.
Yes, lots of that. I'm still drinking beer right now.
Yes.
7 year bitch, you thought they were light?
No. Compared to very acidic stuff we were listening to just minutes ago. No,
gotcha.
I was comparing it to the other selections of the evening.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying that was light rock or anything.
Okay. I mean, maybe they were on Lilith Fair. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they could have been on the side stage. Yeah.
Come to Lilith Fair, la di da, and then go see 7 year bitch.
Bitch. Women's empowerment comes in many different flavors.
That's right. And that's what we got tonight. I think we delivered what Mighty K wanted
yes,
us to
I
do.
Yes, I hope so. If
so,
not,
thank
we'll,
you, Mighty
we'll try
K.
again.
Yeah, thank you for calling the shots tonight. Hopefully we delivered. Yes. And if not, I'm sure you will let us know.
As a true woman, you will let us know where we fucked up.
And won't hold back.
Nope.
That's fucking awesome. Holy shit balls.
I swear, goosebumps. I always approve all the episodes. I can't imagine ever not approving of any of them. And it just calls it Lexa sees it.
You know that you are a dumbass to me. You are, I repeat, a dumbass. Perverted? Yes. Dumbass? Yes.
And that's what we have tonight. Until next time, people.
See you
later.